Hello there. How are you all doing this summer? I'm sure you have been listening to the episodes of the podcast series Unpacking Authenticity with Mamata Gokhale. Thank you again for encouraging me, and I hope you have been able to implement. So it would be amazing if you can share some of your implementing or perspectives that you have been thinking on after listening to this podcast. Today I have with me Neerja Ganesh. But before I go ahead and introduce her to you, I would want to share that we are dividing this conversation with Neerja Ganesh into two episodes. So one I'm publishing today, that is 16th of May, and the other one, perhaps 23rd of May, is what you will see the rest of it. So let us introduce Neerja Ganesh. She's a TEDx speaker and a keynote speaker at prestigious conferences. She has also been invited by various other prestigious forums across the globe to deliver talks on a variety of topics. In a freelance capacity, she also conducts various training programs on leadership and behaviors. Networking for Results and How to Tell Your Story are two of her signature programs. She has won multiple awards. She was one of the top 10 finalists for the Women Tech Network Speaker of the Year Award 2023. I will share a little bit about Neerja in the second episode, but one thing that definitely I want to share with you before you tune in and listen to Neerja Ganesh and me unpacking authenticity together. Neerja has one amazing skill of storytelling, and if storytelling is something that really interests you will learn it in the best authentic way. So tune in now and listen to the sixth episode of Unpacking Authenticity.
Hi, Nija. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
It's a pleasure, Mamita, and I know that you had a season earlier to this, and I was waiting when you'll call me.
Now I'm humbled.
It
Now I'm feeling very humbled, and I'm also getting pressurized. Oh my God, thank you so much for that. Nija, I mean, having you on my podcast, and that too a topic, and I'm sure you understand this. I was thinking about authenticity, and the first name that came about was like, I need to connect to Nietzsche on this because you kind of walk authenticity. So what is authenticity for you before we get ahead and have a conversation? But basics, let's start with basics. What does authenticity mean to you?
Sure. So I think authenticity is being oneself, right? Being oneself with, or being yourself with your values every time, everywhere. That is a very simple definition of authenticity. And hence, it does not differ in personal life, doesn't differ in professional life, doesn't differ when you're doing some community work, or it's just being you everywhere. So I'll give you an example, and it is, this goes back many, many years when I was in school. So I had shifted from Indore to Bangalore when I was in eighth standard. So this was a school that I joined here, and either it's eighth or the ninth standard, my birthday. And school make kids, at least in those days, we used to take toffees and give to everyone, and then we would go to the staff room and give to all the teachers, and then go to the principal's office. So I also went to the principal's office, and I'm really telling you, I was one of those girls who'd never be noticed because I was such a very, very, maybe I was there for a year then. But when I went, so I gave her the toffee. She gave a return gift, which was another toffee. So I'm sure all kids come and give her the taste. She keeps them and she gives it back. So she gave me another toffee, and she gave me one, this small book. So it looks like there is an internet issue. Is it okay?
Yeah, I can hear you very well. Yes.
Okay, all good. So I'll start. So I was telling you that the principal gave me a toffee, and she gave me a small book. So this school had been started by two people who were followers of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So this book was the mother's teachings and some quotes
Yeah.
from the mother. And on the top of it, she wrote, there is, and this is one of the quotes of the mother, "There is great beauty in simplicity, and Neeraja, you are simple and hence you're beautiful." Now, can you imagine what it would do to a ninth standard girl, who was in the midst of so many other girls for whom their priorities at that point in time is fashion, looking better than the other person, which boy is looking at you and which teacher is knowing you and all of that. And here I was just myself, and
Oh.
that had got the attention of the principal.
Wow.
Okay. And she picked it and she said, "You're beautiful because of you being so simple."
Yeah.
And that day to this day, 40 years later, I continue to be myself. It does not matter what the latest fashion trends are. So I'm wearing a sari which is 30 years old. Okay. And it doesn't matter to me. The sari is intact. So it may not be the most fashionable thing or latest in vogue, but I continue to wear it, right? I'm turning gray, but it's okay. I don't need to color my hair. I'm just myself. Because people will reach out to me, and not because of what I wear, not the way I look, or even in the work. So we are facilitators. We deliver leadership programs. I'm not running behind learning the latest frameworks and tools and how to make it fancy, etc. I keep it extremely simple, and it is me and my learnings and my experiences that I share. Doesn't matter. Or, even social media as an example, right? People are trying to be on social media. There are algorithms. They may put a Monday mantra and a Wednesday wisdom. I can't do such things, right? Monday ko mantra nahi aata hai. On Wednesday, I can't become wise. So I write quite a bit on social media. When I feel like writing it, I write. Like, as you said, I can't force myself to do something. So for me, I think I'm just myself. Based on what I believe in, I behave myself in that way. I do the work in that manner, wherever I am. And that is authenticity.
Wonderful. I'm enjoying this conversation, and I'm sure the listeners will do when we publish this episode, Nircha. And you've said it so simply in terms of you're just carrying yourself the way you are. And very subtly, you've put across you are carrying yourself despite what the situation is, so personal, professional. And I also like that bit where you say, you're not carried over makeup or, things like, okay, a particular place needs a particular setup. And that brings me to the new question, next question rather, that if it is just about carrying yourself, then why are we making such a big thing about being genuine, being real? Because a lot of us shy away from bringing our true self in front. Forget about digital media. Even in person, when we meet, when we network, I'm sure, and you are highly networked, you are an expert in networking. So what is your take on that when you meet people, and how, why, I don't know, I'm not sure if I can articulate it, but maybe build on what stops one from being authentic or carrying oneself, everywhere.
Sure. So I'll go back to the question, right? What stops people from being authentic? So let me again narrate another story here. So in this organization where I joined, I was probably 2 years into this organization, and I got nominated to be as one of the 11 women leaders, very senior women leaders, who were chosen to be part of this senior women's leadership development program. So 11 of us, there were people from US, UK, India, of course, Dubai, Japan, and 11. So it was a huge process, I'm sure, to even pick up the 11 out of whatever number of women leaders were there. And it was a residential program in Paris. So we all flew there. Before that, there was this coordinator who called all of us and told us how this program would be, do's and don'ts, etc. And then she said the dress code for this is Western formals. So I said, "See, I don't wear Western formals. In India, a salwar or a sari is considered formal, and I'll wear that." And she was taken aback because there have been many, many programs that they have run. Because in Paris, where they run this, it is a they call it as their university. So they've bought a castle and they run tons of programs. And I'm sure there'll be Indian leaders also who will be attending. And probably nobody has said, "I will not wear Western formal," right? And here this woman is saying, "I won't." So she was taken aback. And she said, "I don't know how this will cut through, you know." So I said, "See, you've gone through a huge process of selection. Leaders would have fought to say, my person should be on this program. And I'm sure it's not because of what someone wears. There are other attributes that we carry because of which I got selected. Now, if you're going to tell me that you cannot have me in the program because of what I wear, I don't want to be part of the leadership, where what you wear, stands beyond what you actually deliver. But you go and have a conversation with whoever I told her. So she did go, and she came back and said, Nirja, okay, you can wear what you think is formal, but just keep it muted, like black, white, gray. So I said, okay, I mean, I can always wear a black salwar or a white salwar. So we went, and day one, 11 of us, there were four of us from India. The other three Indian women were in so-called Western formal, so pant suits or skirt suits. Everybody else had dressed to what they felt like. So it was May in the month of Paris. Sorry, it was the month of May in Paris. It was beautiful weather, spring, and then it was going to be summer. And these women had worn long flowing skirts, nice flowery skirts, and even if they were wearing pants, it was like comfy ones, not the formal. And I thought only our Indian women are trying to comply here. And I could see some of them struggling. That is what would have happened if I had also tried to comply, because that's not me. So to answer your question, why do people comply? There could be two reasons. One is that they want to fit in. And when there is a code like this, then they think they will be really, out of the box. And how would that be looked at? Two, it could be that they are insecure. Like, I was okay to be out of the cohort if they, felt that somebody who doesn't wear Western formals should not attend. I was okay. There was no insecurity in me because a leadership program doesn't define me. You
Wonderful.
feel that I'm a leader, hence you're putting me through something to better me, right? So it's only going to make me better, but it doesn't define me. I'm already there at that level. And hence, that's why I do what I do, being myself, and maybe the others have not yet arrived there.
I love this because, I could connect to that sari and the Western formals. Personally, I don't wear Western formals as such. Of course, I may wear dresses or jeans or something like that. But when I'm training or when I'm facilitating, I like a salwar kameez, I feel more comfortable. Even
Right.
sari, I'm not very comfortable because I think
Right,
I'm too dressed up for that occasion. Okay. So,
right.
and there are so many people, like how she told you, and there are so many, Mamata, why don't you wear sari? Because you will look a little more like a facilitator, like a facilitator. I said, okay, if I have to get programs, and I'm feeling so nice that somebody else also thinks like this, Nirja. So thank you for so much for this. That's precisely, you spoke about fear, you spoke about feeling insecure. So what do you think, how does the environment or maybe, the exposure, how can it help one to be authentic? I mean, where you could voice out, the others were not able to. So what can we do as an environment to support that system that let's all be ourselves?
Right. So I will give you another story, and you will get a lot of stories from me, okay?
Oh.
And because I think with the story, the point is also emphasized,
Sure.
right? So here was so I was part of this project in this organization where we were delivering a lot of free learning programs to colleges. To women largely, right? So we wanted to educate more women, and there were a lot of free learning resources that we were offering. And we had a large target, a huge target to kind of impact by a particular month. So we were also aligning with partners. How much can we reach out to colleges? So those partners who had their connects with colleges, we were collaborating with them, saying, you bring us colleges and the students, and we will offer the free programs. Now, what happened here in this organization is that they continuously have these initiatives. So one finishes, another will start. So once a college and a student gets onboarded, then for a lifetime, whatever new projects come in, whatever new interventions are there, they continuously get offered to these students if they wish to take it, which means mailers keep going to them. Okay. Now, these are all free programs, so we're not making any money on it. So when we were speaking to this one partner, he said, see, I have spoken to all these colleges only for this program. So you will not send any other mailers to them. So I went, and I was the lead for the program. So he told me this. I went back to the CEO and I said, he has this request. CEO said, okay, we'll make an exception. Now, what happened, I don't know, but I forgot to tell the marketing team about this. And in a couple of days, some mailer has gone and hit his college students also. And that college, management called him. It was a weekend and night. He called me. He was extremely furious. And he was yelling at me, saying that you said that you will honor what I said. Now it has gone out. The college thinks that, I'm doing some hanky panky. You said free programs. They are thinking I'm making some money on this. A lot of stuff he told me. So I apologized to him and I said, let me see how what happened, like how to stop this. I said, I'm sorry, but let me see. In future, it not happen. So immediately I called the CEO. I'm saying it's a weekend night, right? And I said, this has happened. I forgot. I very honestly told her, I forgot to tell the marketing team, and apparently an email has gone. What she did, she just called everyone. She called the tech head, the CTO, she called the marketing head, she called me, she called all the other alliances leads, and she said, first thing, we are stopping any emails going out from our platform to anybody. Forget this partner. Because to figure out a solution, we'll need time. And I don't want another mistake. So she said, I don't care if it is going to impact any other client and college, but no emails go out till such time we figure this out. For once, she didn't ask me, why did you forget? We have made a mistake and it's such a big thing. She didn't. And then we got into a meeting to figure out how do we only eliminate this particular partner, right? So how do we find those email IDs and ensure that it doesn't happen even by mistake? So that's why tech was there, marketing was there, all of us putting our heads to see what to do. So we figured out a solution, which they were going to implement the next day. Third, she wrote an apology email to this partner. She did not mention my name. She did not say anything. She said, we are sorry. And it will not repeat. And she scheduled a meeting with him next day, with me, with tech head, and others to really convince him that it was a mistake and it never happened, to tell him what is the solution we are putting in place. So next day he came for the meeting, but he was not one of those who could get appeased. Maybe, the college had really yelled at him. We never knew. So she was trying to tell him again and again that we are sorry, this will not happen again. And this is the way we are going to, put a process in place so that this doesn't happen. But he was just refusing to listen. Couple of days, he kept sending us emails, WhatsApp messages saying, tell me who was responsible. Tell me who was responsible. And the CEO said, no, it's the organization. I mean, there's not one person involved, right? And she said, finally, she said, I myself will come and talk to the college. If you really want the college to, be calmed down, I will do the talking. But he didn't agree. Then she said, sorry, we would have loved to partner with you, but looks like you don't trust us. So let us end the partnership. And it was a big impact to us because he was bringing in big numbers, but she was okay with it. She said, it doesn't matter. We can take a hit on numbers. We'll make it up with some other partner, but person who believes us, who trusts us, is the person that we would like to work with. And look at what it did to me. I, as a person, am always authentic. So I am okay. I can take the beating even if I got beaten. But somebody else who's new in the system, how would she or he would have felt encouraged that you committed a mistake, but nobody was, beating you up for that? We are only going to learn from this to say how in future. So I was reflecting why I forgot. And I was saying I should put some systems for myself not to forget. But this is how an organization and a leader or anybody else in the household can help someone be authentic and not hide who they are and what they have done. So it starts from top.
What a powerful example. And so it's so amazing, like, just taking up on yourself. And we speak about ownership, accountability, right? I'm sure you're also
Absolutely.
conducting workshops. And why does it not come? And this is a so, I mean, amazing example of putting it across. And I love the way, the way it was handled. And if everyone thinks on those lines, then the defense that we bring in, oh my God, I cannot be authentic because they will not take it well. So Nirja, in your stories, I'm also hearing that it's not easy because at times you may lose clients, you may lose, partnership, you may lose business. So, and that is one of the biggest fear that we see, especially in the corporate when I'm dealing with the leaders, senior leaders. How can I say that? Because they may not take it well, the management may not buy it in. So, what are the few things that one can do where possibly for that person, he knows the receiver will not, receive it? So what ways do you think they can manage by still being authentic, but not ruining the relationship?
Yeah, so there are only two things that can happen. One is that the other side understands. We could be penalized, but it's okay. I mean, the relationship still continues because they understand us. They believe, in the work that we do, or the way we do it, etc. And those are the kinds of stakeholders and clients that we would like to work with also largely. Okay. But I do understand that it takes time for us to reach a stage where we say, okay, such a client I don't want to work with. At some point in time, we will work with every client because we are still kind of work in progress to reach that stage. But I think for me, what works is that I always take a holistic view of the situation. I never look at it as a point in time, which is now. I will always look at what will happen because of this 10 days down the line, 10 months down the line, 10 years down the line. And I assess that. When you take a very holistic view, then sometimes you're willing to let go of the client, of the person, of the stakeholder. And I think that is important for each of us. So I can kind of give some examples from when I started working also. To now, right? So after my first job, I was really, attending tons of interviews to get to my second job, and I managed to get a job for double the salary. Okay, so I was very thrilled. Technology I'm talking about 1996. So, double the salary was thrilling, and I accepted the offer. And I was serving notice, but because I was really, interviewing in so many places. After I got this offer, I got one more offer from another company. And I told them I have an offer. They bettered it. They kind of gave me 30, 40% more on that. Now, what do people usually do? Largely, people will ghost you, right? They will not show up on the day. The basic courtesy of going back and saying, I will not be able to join you because I have another offer or whatever, even that is not there in majority of the people. They just keep quiet and they will not show up on the day of joining. What I did, and I'm talking at such a young age and so many years ago, I called the MD of this company and I told him that I have another offer, which is so much more from your offer. But I told him, I'm willing to, I like your company. So if you're able to match this, I'm still willing to join you. So he said, why don't you come over? So I had made a call. So he said, why don't you come over? So I went to the office and he said, Neja, I definitely want you to join me. And I can definitely match that offer. Okay. But let me tell you this. I know you are going to be an exceptional performer. So 6 months later, there's going to be an appraisal process, which is where we are going to give out bonuses and salary raises. If I were to make a salary, this kind of salary increase for you now, then after 6 months, I can't make, a better, increase. You may get very little or nothing. Okay. And I'll feel very bad about it. You will feel very bad that you've been in the system for 6 months. You've performed so well and still we are not able to reward you. And everybody else is getting, their bonuses and salaries. So either I give you now, but it'll be, difficult later, or now you join me for what I have offered. And I will guarantee you that in 6 months' time, because I know you'll perform so well, the increase that you will get is going to be much, much better than what you have as the other offer. So he was very open. And I very openly accepted what he said. Now, there's a trust that you are building, but I looked at it very holistically. For me, the relationship with this person, I really wanted it to be long term because he's taking the trouble of calling me and he's putting on table two options. And I could have chosen either, right? And he's telling me I want you because I believe you can really perform well. So I went with the original salary that he had offered. And in 6 months' time, I'll tell you, I got the highest reward. It was a very small company, so you really get to know. You will talk to each other, how much did you get, and all of that. My salary had further doubled in that revision. So it was much better than what the other offer was. So that's why I really genuinely believe in having a holistic and a long-term.
Wow, that's indeed authentic, and so many stories to listen to, reflect, and pause. So we are pausing this episode here and come back to us next week again to hear the rest of it. Thanks for listening.